This morning, we're going to continue in our series. If you're visiting with us today, we're in the middle of a series looking at the Psalms of Ascent. And so this is a set of Psalms 120 to 134. It's 15 Psalms. And it typically, it was, these were the Psalms that were sung on the way of pilgrimage up to Jerusalem three times a year. They were used at other times, but that's primarily what they were focused on. And we've never done this before, and so it's been an interesting series to sort of jump into the Psalms in this way and sort of see what does God have for us in the midst of our current life and circumstance, and how does it apply to us, right? We believe that all of the Bible is inspired word of God, right? And so we can receive, even in the Old Covenant, there's things for us to draw in, and there's ways in the New Covenant that God sort of highlights it and utilizes it in our life. And so today we're in Psalm 123, and I did this the last message that I just want you to listen. I'm going to read Psalm 123 in two versions, and you can just listen. If it helps you to close your eyes, you can, but you don't have to. So Psalm 123 in the English Standard Version, it says, "To you I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maidservant to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God, till he has mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy upon us, for we have had more than enough of contempt. Our soul has had more than enough of the scorn of those who are at ease, of the contempt of the proud." And then let's read it in the Passion Translation. It says, "O God enthroned in heaven, I lift my eyes towards you in worship. The way I love you is like the way of a servant wants to please his master, the way a maid waits for the orders of her mistress. We look to you, our God, with passionate longing to please you and discover more of your mercy and grace. For we've had more than our fill of this scoffing and scorn, this mistreatment by the wealthy elite. Lord, show us your mercy. Lord, show us your grace." And so what we're going to do is we're just going to break it down verse by verse, and then I'll share some closing thoughts. But Psalm 123, verse 1 says, "To you I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens." So the psalmist is saying, "To you I lift up my eyes." Who's the you? Right, it says enthroned in heaven, so that's a clue for us, right? An indicator. Enthroned, I think it symbolizes God's supreme authority and sovereign rule over all creation. So I think we can make a good case that the you is God, right? And the psalmist's eyes are locked on God. In the midst of their current circumstance, in the midst of what's going on in their life, their eyes are locked on God. It's as if they were saying, "My hope is in you." And ultimately, there's no other hope than God. Verse 2, it says, "Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maidservant to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God till he has mercy upon us." It says, "Behold," right? Look, right? There's a sense of a clarity of purpose. And then the word "as," which is like just like the, right? So as, just like the eyes of a servant or the eyes of a maidservant look to the hands of their master or mistress. I think, how do you read that? A lot determines how you think of the word servant, right? So I think a lot of people that I know and their experience with the word servant is there's this sense of fear that rises up, that the servant is sort of like, oh, am I going to get punished if I do the wrong thing? And yet this, the context of what is being described, it's the contrary. There's a sense of adoration of the servant or the maidservant towards their master or mistress. There's actually a hopeful expectation, a desire to please or to anticipate the needs or the wants of the master or the mistress, right? There's some connection of intimacy between the two. And the psalmist speaks of an authentic relational connection, and that's sort of the connection between us and God. Verse 2b, it sort of shifts. It says, "So our eyes," so it goes from singular to plural. So it was I, now it's our eyes So ultimately, it's the people of Israel. The whole people of Israel. Our eyes look to the Lord our God till he has mercy upon us. Right? All of us. And there's a hopeful expectation of God's goodness and faithfulness for all of the people of Israel. And there's a confident trusting that God will pour out his mercy on the people of God. And that God has a power and authority and will advocate and defend his people. Right? That's good news. It's who he is. Verse 3, it says, "Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy upon us, for we have had more than enough of contempt. Our soul has had more than enough of the scorn of those who are at ease, of the contempt of the proud." And so we see the psalmist and the people of Israel, there's a cry for mercy, right? Whatever their current situation and circumstances, there's a cry in their heart for mercy, and they're looking to God to provide mercy. Ultimately, the what, right? We don't really get a full picture. The psalmist says, we have had more than enough of contempt, or more than enough of this scoffing and scorn. From who? Right? Who's scorning them? Who's scoffing them? It seems like that it's those who are at ease, or the proud, or in the Passion Translation, the wealthy elite, right? So that's pretty confusing. Right, ultimately, because the psalmist doesn't give us the details. He doesn't tell us what's really going on. And I think, and ultimately for me as I read through it, I think that the truth is that the people of God are being ridiculed and scorned by another grouping of people. And ultimately, the key is not the why, or else the psalmist would have told us, right? I think the key is the response to the circumstance the people of God are facing. What's the response? So in the midst of the scorning, in the midst of the scoffing, for whatever reason that's going on, whoever the people are that are doing that, the psalmist wants us to capture the response of the people of Israel, right? They recognize that their soul has had more than enough. They're weary of the barrage. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been weary of the barrage? It feels like everything's coming at you and coming at you and coming at you, right? They don't try to defend themselves. Do you guys try to defend yourselves? I've tried to defend myself before, right? They don't fight or demand justice from those who are coming against them. What do? They look to their God. They lock their eyes on God. They trust God to be the one who's going to defend them, who's going to advocate for them, who's going to step into the place of the gap, right? All their hope is in God. And so they stay looking at God, waiting for mercy and grace, God's redemption, his restoration, and his power. It's a very simple message in the psalm, right? It says, keep your eyes locked on God, all times, right? How about you and me, right? As you navigate through life, where are your eyes? Right? Not just this morning, but as you go through difficult circumstances or situations, where are your eyes? Right? Are they locked onto God? Are they looking at your circumstances, or are they looking at God? Right? It really is. There's only two things, right? Are they looking at those who are coming against you, or are they looking at God? It's hard when somebody's coming against you not to look at them. I'll be honest, right? And yet the reality is there's a message in the psalm that says the truth is if we can just keep our eyes on God, we'll be able to navigate that circumstance in a better way. It's interesting. Like maybe you've had individuals in your life who either are currently, or they did when you were younger, saying words or doing actions that would describe you as worthless or despicable. Like maybe when you were a little kid, your dad just always said, you can never do it enough. You never do it right. Never whatever, right? So you live with that. It's these words that sort of live over your life. And the enemy, I think, he loves to distract us or to derail us by lies that have been spoken over us, right? Or maybe it's somebody that, maybe it's a boss, right? That you're at work and you're like, you just never can do it right. And you just barrage, scorn after scorn. And you have a choice in that moment. You could either try to defend yourself, you could try to fight back, or you can look to God and allow Him to be the one who stands in the gap between you and your boss. Right? It's interesting. I think Psalm 123 reminds us to keep our eyes on God at all times, even in the face of adversity. And yet, Psalm 123, it's not just a plea for mercy and grace from God. It's not just saying, cry out to God for mercy in all your bad situations and circumstances. It actually paints a beautiful picture of relationship with God, of an intimacy with God. It says, like, of knowing God and knowing the ways of God. Like a servant who's committed to his or her master, anticipating their needs or desires, and attentive to their ways. Like one individual I thought of in the scriptures was Jonathan's armor bearer. I don't know if you're familiar with that passage, but it's in 1 Samuel 14 if you want to look it up. But Jonathan's armor bearer, this was a man who, he was a servant, right? He wasn't getting paid to do what he was doing. He was a servant. He was Jonathan's armor bearer, and he was courageous and valiant, and yet he was committed to Jonathan. Like his heart was on towards Jonathan, his master. He was committed to Jonathan's heart to defend and advance the kingdom against the Philistines. Like, he believed in the cause. He believed in what Jonathan fought for. And he was more than just a servant, because he was willing to risk his life for Jonathan, right? And he says in verse 7 of 1 Samuel 14, he says to Jonathan, he says, do all that is in your heart. Do as you wish. Behold, I am with you heart and soul. And so it paints a different picture of servant, a servant who's sold out to their master, sold out to the cause, believing that the master has their good intentions, right? And like I shared with Psalm 122, the last message, that we live on this side of the cross, right? So we're in a different season, right? Psalm 123 was written in the Old Covenant. And we live on this side of the cross. And so one of the things that Jesus adds to this picture that I felt like he highlighted is Jesus calls his disciples friends. He doesn't just call you servants, right? Sometimes we want to just be called servants because we want him to just tell us what to do. Life would be a lot easier if he just said, do this, we did it, or we didn't, right? And then we would just know, I either was good or I was bad. Is that easy, black and white? And yet it's not that easy, because he calls us friends. And so we get to do life together. In John 15, verse 14, he says, you are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Jesus' yes to go through the cross opens the door for us to abide intimately with the Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. He paves a way for us to have this intimate relationship, right? We're not just a servant. And yet the reality is this picture that's being painted, right? We're not just trying to be obedient, but we're friends who know the heart of the Father. He lets us in. What's the Father think? What's the Father feel? How does the Father act? We get to partner with that. We're sons and daughters who are invited to partner with the Father to advance the kingdom by releasing his love and setting captives free. And I think the only way to truly abide is learn from how Jesus related with the Father when he walked on earth. He paints a beautiful picture of what life is like abiding. Right? Jesus, he only did what he saw the Father doing, which implies that his eyes were always locked on the Father. Is Psalm 123. His eyes are locked on the Father. Did Jesus try to defend himself with all the crap that came against him? Did he fight? Nope. He trusted his Father. All the way through the cross, he trusted his Father. It's very interesting. Like the psalmist and the people of Israel in Psalm 123, Jesus locked his eyes on the Father. He knew the heart of the Father. And abiding opens the door for us to know and experience the heart of the Father too. So if you want to know the heart of the Father, abide in him. Remain in him. Stay close to him. Very close, right? Don't just be like a planet that comes around or what is that, you know, every now and then, right? You want to be close, where there's no separation. And then like Jesus, we get to reveal the heart of God to those in our spheres of influence, right? That's really, really good news. I think the last thing really from this this psalm is that God is our advocate and our defense. He's your advocate. He is your defense, whether you deserve it or not, right? He already went to the cross for you even when you didn't deserve it. So you don't need to try to deserve it. But he is your advocate and your defense. And his advocacy and defense flows from his heart for you, for me. He loves you. He'll never stop loving you. It's not based on behavior, right? It's not based on behavior. And he is the one who gives you mercy, right? Do you ever need mercy? I need mercy, right? Do you ever do the wrong thing? You ever make a big mess out of a relational thing, right? You need mercy? I need mercy. And he saves you from your enemies. Right, that's a trust thing. To allow him to be the one who fights on your behalf, it's trusting him. And if you try to do it all on your own, it's because you don't really trust him, right? Ultimately, is what it says, right? He may give you a strategy for what it looks like to fight in a season or a situation or what to do in a tricky situation that you're facing, right? So don't get me wrong. But the reality is if your eyes aren't locked on him and it's just on you, I got to make this thing right. I got to make this thing happen, right? That's not what Psalm 123 is saying. He's saying, keep your eyes locked on God and let him show you what to do or let him fight on your behalf. He's the one who defends you and protects you. And he's the one who gives you grace, right? Grace is that divine empowerment to do what you could never do on your own. It comes from God to you, and it empowers you to accomplish something that you couldn't never do on your own. So he empowers you to go through adversity, even the hardest things that you're going through in your life right now. His grace empowers you to do it. And then the good news, I think, ultimately, is he actually walks with you through it, because he never leaves you or forsakes you. So he's right in the middle of your mess, right in the hardest places of what you're facing. He's right there. He's not distant. You may not feel him. You may feel like he's so far away, right? But the reality is he's right there with you. There's no separation from him and you. Right? Because nothing can separate us from the love of God. Right? And when we keep our eyes on him, we know that we're not alone in our adversity. I think often when we're in the middle of an adversity and we don't feel his presence or we have a hard time knowing what God's doing, it's because we're not looking at him. We're looking at our circumstance. We're looking at our situation. We're looking at what feels overwhelming. And so we're not alone in the throes of ridicule, scorn, or injustice from others, because God stands with you personally. And he also stands for you, right? And notice the distinction. He's not just with you. He's actually for you. He's your champion. He advocates for you. He's the one who's going to bat for you, right? Again, whether you deserve it or not, but because he loves you. And so all our hope is in him, right? There's no other one to hope in. And so no matter what circumstances you're facing today or what season of life you find yourself in, the encouragement from Psalm 123 is to lift your eyes up to God. The one who's enthroned in the heavens. He'll never not be enthroned in the heavens with all of his authority and power. is who he is. And so keep your eyes locked on him. Receive his mercy and grace today and trust him to be your advocate. Trust him to be your defense. And then rest in his delight. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for Psalm 123. I thank you for the reminder to keep our eyes locked on you. No matter what we're facing, whether it's a time of life that's filled with plenty and abundance and goodness, or if it's a time of life that's filled with a bunch of adversity and things that could feel overwhelming, that you would give us grace to keep our eyes locked on you, and that we would recognize that you're the one who fights on our behalf. You're the one who defends us and advocates for us. You walk with us through everything that we're walking through. And then you make a way for us to know the heart of the Father. A beautiful picture of intimacy, that you don't just call us servants, you call us friends. Right? We get to know the heart of the Father. And that's beautiful. And then we get to partner with the Father to bring heaven on earth and to advance your kingdom here and set captives free. And I pray for your grace in the midst of this. You know where each person who's either hearing this in person or on the podcast later, where they're at with you, what season they're in, what situations they're facing right now. What are the things that you're highlighting as they're listening to this word? And I just pray for grace, Lord. Your grace to rest on them, to empower them in any of the places where that they've tried to just fight on their own, right? And you want to encourage them to actually pause, rest. Let me take that from you, right? Let me fight on your behalf and prepare to be amazed at what I can do, right? Or places where you just want us to know the intimacy that we can have with you at deeper levels. That we can actually know the Father more than we did yesterday. And we can know more of his intimate details of the things that he wants to accomplish here in Sonoma County or wherever we call home, right? There's things that are on his agenda, on his heart. And we get to partner with him. And it's really, really good news that's presented in Psalm 123. Yeah. And we say thank you, Lord. And we pray for your mercy. Anybody who is in a situation where they really need your mercy today, would you pour out your mercy? Would you meet them in their suffering? Maybe it's a physical condition, or maybe it's depression, or maybe it's an addiction. Would you pour out your mercy today in a fresh way? Our hope is in you. It's not in a program. It's not in some other situation or circumstance. Our hope is in you. And we ask that you would guide us, that you would lead us and show us what are the steps to take to have breakthrough. But ultimately, our eyes are locked on you. Yeah. And so we pray that you would seal this word for your glory and that you would utilize it to just accomplish great things in our lives. And we ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.